Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Friday, August the 26th, and welcome to our commentary. We're going to get into a couple of things today. Inflation has been in the news. The Federal Reserve has been in the news. And I have a post over at the American Thinker about something very interesting happening in Mexico regarding journalists. So we're going to get into that in just a second. But again, you know, the breaking story this morning about the affidavit, a redacted copy was made available today. I, like many of you, I've been watching TV and seeing this redacted copy that actually doesn't say a lot. There's not a lot of details because all the juicy stuff has been redacted. Now, I guess we'll have to wait for more information, but I go back to the point that I made before, and I'll say it again. This is really a political problem for the Biden administration, not so much a legal problem, a political problem. And half of the country, we're a very polarized country, I should say. We're, you know, half of the country thinks one way, the other half thinks the other way. There are some very legitimate concerns in my mind about the FBI and the politics of the DOJ. You know, this is, of course, the same DOJ that wanted to go after parents because they were talking at school board meetings or would not protect the justices, you know, when there were people marching and one guy even tried to kill one of the justices. Thankfully, they caught the guy. But, I mean, this DOJ was very passive in reacting to all that stuff, but yet they were very aggressive on this particular issue with the document. So I think eventually the American people, somebody is going to have to explain to the American people why it was necessary to do this, meaning why it was necessary to cross a line that had never been crossed in the history of the country and to go after a predecessor of the other party, a predecessor of the other party, potentially a running mate or potentially a candidate for president, I should say. And I think the American people are going to have to hear the story, you know, all the ugly stuff. They're just, I mean, we're capable of hearing the ugly stuff, but the Biden administration, the attorney general is going to have to go on TV and say, this is why I did it. And here's the information. And we are accusing President Trump of this. Until that happens, I just think this is going to get more and more politically complicated for them. So there's not a lot that we're going to get today out of the so-called redacted version. But I just hope that the Department of Justice and the Biden administration understands that they're going to have to come clean and they're going to have to be very specific. And they're going to have to show that this was the last option or the only option, because there was another option. They could have gone to the Supreme Court with a subpoena. They could have issued a subpoena and said, this is the last time, Mr. President Trump. Here's a subpoena. And if he doesn't respect the subpoena, then you go to the Supreme Court. That would have been, in my opinion, more effective if, in fact, you know, the president was holding on to these documents. And again, that's an if. We don't know for sure. So this doesn't get solved today, but at least the so-called redacted copy is out in the public. Well, let's talk a little bit about inflation, because a new report came out today, the monthly report, that inflation had actually gone down a little bit, a point or so. Again, for most Americans, when we talk about inflation, you know, Americans don't follow the producer inflation rate or whatever. That's for the economist. When Americans talk about inflation, it's the price of gasoline. It's the price of food, the price of milk. That's inflation for most people. And those are actually very high. So I guess most Americans, I mean, I'm happy that inflation, at least in the macroeconomic sense, came down. But still, you got to remember that people are buying food, they're buying eggs, they're buying milk, they're buying cereal, they're buying things that are still very expensive as to where they were months ago. But I think the big story of the day is not the inflation report. That's a big story, but that's not the big story of the day. The big story of the day and what has driven the stock market down for much of today is that the Fed chairman basically said, we're going to keep increasing interest rates. because we want to fight inflation. So obviously the Fed chairman, Mr. Powell, does not think that we're doing enough to fight inflation. Obviously, he was not very impressed with the Inflation Reduction Act that President Biden signed a few days ago. He was not very impressed with that, obviously. So we're going to continue to fight inflation, which means that interest rates are going up. And even the Fed chairman himself said that there will be some tough times ahead. So I think what he was talking about is higher interest rates and obviously the recession that many of us had been talking about for the last few months. So get ready. Higher interest rates are coming. And that is the reason why the market today is reacting the way it did. Well, let's talk a little bit. I have a post over at the American Thinkers today talking about what is happening in Mexico. This year so far, 15 journalists have been killed in Mexico. And journalists in Mexico have a very dangerous job. And I have to salute these journalists because they're doing their jobs. I mean, they're out there writing stories, and obviously in many cases, they're attacking criminal elements and pointing out some corruption. And in many cases, they get killed for doing what they do as journalists. And number 15 was just assassinated a few days ago in the western or the eastern part of Mexico. I'm not exactly sure right now, but that makes it 15 who have been killed in Mexico. And the reason that they're killed is, number one, because they're doing their jobs. Obviously, they're reporting a lot of bad things, particularly the corruption and the influence of criminal elements in the politics. That's really what's driving a lot of these shootings. And the other reason they're being killed, of course, is because they're easy targets. I mean, these men and women who are being killed, and it does include women. There was one woman who was killed earlier this year. They're unguarded. I mean, they leave their office and they drive home. So they become easy targets for somebody who wants to kill them. I'm not exactly sure how to protect these journalists, but I do have to admire their willingness to do their jobs in very difficult circumstances. So our sympathies to the families of these men who are being shot for being journalists. I mean, that's a pretty tough situation to be in, to be a journalist and have to fear for your life. Well, that's what's happening in Mexico right now. So check out my post over at the American Thinker. You can read it at the American Thinker, or you can see it on my blog or my Facebook page. Well, one quick note here, and this, I'm not sure exactly why this is happening, but the mayor of Washington, D.C. is now saying that the kids who are not unvaccinated cannot go to school. Now, I'm not exactly sure if that's just there or it's going to happen somewhere else, but that means that a bunch of kids are not going to be able to school if they're not vaccinated. What is that all about? I mean, what are they afraid of? What vaccinations are we talking about? I mean, I thought we were vaccinating kids a year ago. So that's one of those crazy stories that you have to wonder, you know, what's going on in the Washington, D.C. school district. One thing I do know is that the Washington, D.C. district is a failing district with a lot of kids, you know, graduating who cannot read and write. And it's not exactly one of the places you want to send your kids to. If you can get them out of the district and put them in a private school or somewhere else. But saying to kids, you cannot go to school unless you're vaccinated. Wow, that's a pretty radical proposition, to say the least. Well, on this day in history, a couple of things we want to talk about. 1939. Now, that's an interesting year because 1939, of course, here in the United States, everybody was talking about the war in Europe. But back here, we were still out of that war for whatever reason. You know, we had a very, very big anti-war movement back then. So we were not getting involved in the war. In fact, a lot of Americans didn't even want us to get involved in the war. One of them was Charles Lindbergh, the famous aviator 10 years before, who flew the Spirit of St. Louis from New York to Paris 10 years before. But anyway, on this day in 1939, the first televised baseball game between the Phillies and the Brooklyn Dodgers, Philadelphia Phillies and the Brooklyn Dodgers. Now, of course, when I say televised, it was a totally different thing back then. Most people didn't have TV, and it was a signal that only went like 50 miles around New York City. And very few people could see it, again, because very few people had televisions back on this day in 1939. But it did begin the very first televised baseball game, something that, of course, we take for granted today. We take, you know, televised sports for granted today. But on this day in 1939, the first one was shown on TV, and that's kind of an interesting thing. The announcer for this game was Red Barber, who was the famous announcer for the Brooklyn Dodgers so many years ago. And on this day in 1968, probably one of the defining moments of the Democrat Party, a day that I think brought many changes to the Democrat Party, and that was the Chicago Convention. The Democrats met in Chicago to nominate a president, and of course this was after President Johnson decided not to run for re-election. This is after the assassination of Martin Luther King, and then the assassination of Robert Kennedy, who was running for president in 1968 when he was assassinated. So the Democrats got to the convention, let's just say, not in the best of moods. And then there was a very massive anti-war movement going on. And their convention really turned into a circus on national television. And I think it presented a very bad image of the party. And I think that contributed to some degree to the loss of Hubert Humphrey that year. They nominated Hubert Humphrey, Vice President Hubert Humphrey, to run for president. And he lost to also former Vice President Richard Nixon that year. It was a very close election, very close election. But the real reason I think that Humphrey lost, I think Humphrey probably would have had a shot at winning that election. But the reason he lost is because George Wallace carried a bunch of southern states. And that's, I think, the reason that he really lost. But nevertheless, the Democrat Party was never the same after this convention. It was never the same. The party moved to the left. It moved a little bit back to the center with Bill Clinton in the 1990s. And I know with Dukakis, they tried to move a bit to the center. But the reality is that this movement to the left in the summer of 1968, I think really had an influence on the party. And they've been a totally different party ever since. So Chicago 1968, it was a mess. I remember one evening watching some of it with my parents on TV. And, you know, what we were watching at the convention floor was amazing. That's all I can tell you. We had never seen anything like that in a political convention, people punching each other, fights with reporters outside the convention hall. The police and the demonstrators were going after each other. I mean, it was an ugly situation for the Democrats that year, and it clearly impacted their ability to win the election of 1968. Again, going back to my original message, we don't really have a lot of information about the redacted copy. It's just going to take a few days, I think, for the people to look at it. But I think the Biden administration, the Attorney General, do have a responsibility at some point, and that point needs to be very soon, to explain to the American people exactly what they were doing and why they were doing it. And they have not done that so far. So far, they have not done that. Now, they're leaking a lot of information, but they need to address the American people and say, this is why we did it, and this is why we took the extreme action of going after a president, former president, and a president of the other party, and a president who may be running again in 2024. So far, they have not done that. And until they do that and persuade millions of Americans that this action had to be taken, I just don't think it's helping them one bit. I mean, this is not helping President Biden and the Attorney General one bit. So we're going to have a lot more about this. We're going to be doing a show with Frank Burke over the weekend. And, of course, we have Bill Katz, the editor of Urgent Agenda, on Monday. So we'll touch on this a lot more in upcoming videos and podcasts. But right now, we don't know anything more about what drove the Biden administration to do something as radical as going after a former president. Thank you for listening. Have a great weekend. Thanks for your comments, Sally, and thank you for everyone watching, and we'll talk to you later. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.